The baby's seated.
You know, we sing many, many songs, and this, of course, is one of our great favorite songs because, not just because Brother Branham sang it, but I think it was already here in the Spirit waiting for us, and we love it. But, you know, it says, I once was blind, but now I see. You know, you can sing that and be a perfect liar. A perfect liar is pretty hard to be. Well, it's hard to be perfect, and yet at the end time you can be a perfect liar. Because at the end time, Jesus said that they don't see, but the people say they do see. If you say you do see when you don't see, then that makes God a liar, and he will not be called a liar. There's no one but those who believe this message can sing this song truthfully. Now, I know we're hated for that, but I can't help that. That's up to God. If they want to hate me because we and you because we know the truth, then let them hate. The word's always been a divider. Now, people can say if they want, but Paul said they don't like me because I worship as a heretic according to them. See? Jesus came according to the word, but not according to their interpretation of the word. But when the word became manifestly interpreted, then, of course, they said, we see, and Jesus said, because you say you see, now your sin remaineth. All over the land, they're singing that lovely song, Amazing Grace. I once was blind, but now I see. What a travesty to say that when they turned down the light of the age. See, not Brother Branham. Now, of course, they had to turn him down to turn down the word, because God has vessels. Strange, everybody talks about being a servant to God, and then they would discredit the one man who was a proven servant. It's amazing, see. Of course, it's all the more amazing grace we become a part of it. I'm just looking at you, and I think you're really a sweet, fine bunch of folk, but you ain't for nothing in the eyes of the world. You couldn't win a beauty contest or stand up for a buck's worth. And, you know, like 2 cents worth of dog meat is what we'd qualify for. But, you know, that's right. That's, I mean, I know some of you might have a few dollars in your pocket, and you may have a good physical health, and you may have intelligent brains and things like that, but you know, that isn't for anything. That doesn't mean a thing. It really doesn't. That isn't going to get you out of the grave. It's going to put you in there. But what it is, it's the word of the Lord. So the world doesn't look at us with any love, and we shouldn't expect it. The world didn't know him. How are they going to know us? People say, I'm sure going to be known as a servant of God. You've got to be kidding. You're going to try to be a good servant of God. But if they didn't know him, how were they going to know us? This is the most amazing thing in the world. But if God should vindicate a certain person as a first fruit, so to speak, I use that, watch the language. Never let it be carried away by language. See, you've got to watch that. It's based on the fact that the husband must first be partaker himself. I use that in this sense, then therefore, that the end time messenger was a partaker and a type of a first fruit in that picture, see. In other words, he was vindicated, and he could prove that he was weak. What other person could do it? See, nobody could do it. So we thank the Lord we're standing on a vindicated message. And when we do sing Amazing Grace, we once were blind, how true it is. How blind we were. You know, I believe there's a little mirth in the things of the Lord because there's joy in the Lord, and that's mirthful. And we can sort of look at ourselves and not lose our perspective and sort of kid ourselves and say, blind and how? How blind? Remember the years we used to preach hellfire thinking that would sure scare them in? And why'd they walk out? I tell you, it's good to be free in the Word, to know you're preaching exactly right. For the first time in literally almost 2,000 years, the Holy Spirit has been freed from creeds and dogmas. And now we can know. Be restored right back to ability of being in the first position of the first bride. This is not mythological. Remember the Bible says that Peter speaking, he said they're going to come, it'll just be fables. Now, fable is a story with a moral to it. And that's as far as it goes. Brother, sister, we don't want morals. We want eternal life. Your morals aren't going to get that. It's going to be the Word. See, why the Word? Because that Word brought forth everything you see right today. The world was made by the Word of God. The worlds consist or are maintained by the Word of God. And if I become one with that Word, what more do I want? It's going to put you right into the rapture. You say, why not the resurrection? Because you won't need a resurrection. You're not dead. Wouldn't that be something? Listen, you know, the one person says truth is stranger than fiction. Now, truth brings friction, but truth is stranger than fiction. This is not fictitious. There's going to be a people here who will not see death. They're going to walk right in. I mean, this is absolutely fantastic. I guess it's just not the minute for the Holy Spirit to quicken it. But someone's going to get quickened. As Brother Branham said, if there isn't a church here makes it, there's a church somewhere going to make it. And he wasn't speaking locally, of course. He was speaking in terms of if people that only went so far in this message as he taught it, there'd be somebody take it up and go all the way. And that's true. There is going to be a resurrection and a rapture. And we ought to be thinking about it. And I don't mean to just think about it. I mean that we ought to be about it. And I hope you caught that because, you know, you got to do your work. A lot of folk, you know, they want to just run away and say, well, I'm going to get ready for that rapture. And, you know, Brother Branham said, if you're building a house, build it. He said, if you're hoeing potatoes and you knew the Lord is going to come tomorrow morning, don't throw down your hoe, just keep on a hoeing. I think I'd listen to that because it said, two should be in the field. I tell you, I'm always amazed at how scriptural that man was. A lot of people get their kicks out of a lot of things. I get, pardon my vulgarity, the language up here, but I have to talk in the vernacular of the ages in which we live. Because that's the only language you can use. And people get their kicks, so-called, their thrills. We get our stimulation. Notice how that man's language is so flawless. He didn't say stimulating, he said stimulation. Don't get steamed up about this and that. Get steamed up about the word. And I don't mean like people arguing denominationally. I mean that you're... That's where your joy is, your stimulation. This is it. What is greater than the true revelation of God's Word? That you hop up and down and jump and talk in tongues about something erroneous doesn't make it right. It's what the revelation is. You know, mature people that come to the place where they say, well, what's right is what's right. Let's get with it. A bunch of little kids trying to make a thing right. I mean, I've told you guess more than once how that when I was a kid, I used to pray that the Lord would move certain cities around for me. Like, what's say with the capital of Arizona here? Well, let's move it somewhere to, say, Globe. So you put that in your test when you were a kid. Lord, make Globe the capital of Arizona. He said, great, I'll do it for you. Hogwash. Grow up. You'll learn what the capital of state is. You don't run down to Globe or up to Globe or out to Globe, wherever it is. I never know up from down when it comes to geography. Out west or back east or whatever it is. And you couldn't just say, well, this is the capital because I'm here. You conform, right? Here's where we are today in the Word. Now, I want to bring a message this morning, and it's a little difficult because it's the one that is, I think, there are much, much divided opinion concerning it as to the placing of what the adoption and manifestation of sons is, and especially in what particular time era of the church. And so you listen along, and what you can see, you take, and what you don't see, that's all right, because I just have to preach it the way I see it. And I don't expect you to see it my way, it's all right, however you see it. But we all know that there is a scriptural doctrine called the manifestation of the sons of God. And it's in the Bible. And if it's in the Bible, it's going to be brought into light. It's going to happen, see? And we want to talk about it this morning, and it'll take us a while to do it. However you study it and read it, you just go along the way you do. I have no worry about how Brother Green feels about it because we've already talked about it in a way that I think we agree almost perfectly. Well, some of my brethren I talk to, and we've discussed this by the hour, men that I have the greatest respect for, also believe it this way. But there are others who don't. And no doubt you've heard sort of both sides, but perhaps this morning I'd like to just talk about the way that I see it from how the prophet taught it. And it seems almost anti-scriptural from the way it's expressed in the Bible to the way that I believe Brother Branham said it. So I'm kind of warning you now to be on your guard and to listen carefully and just see how your feelings are concerning what you read of this subject, and you heard it this Christmas. Now, just the time that you were hearing it, I already had been studying these manuscripts, about seven of them, for about 1 month, checking and double-checking. And against what my own eyes see in the Bible, I must teach what seems to appear in the eyes of almost all the world, contrary to what they think they see in the Word, because of the statements Brother Branham made. Now, this is not strange to your ears, because you're doing the same thing. You read your Bibles many times, said, I see this, and you found out that he saw it different. He said, well, I saw wrong. I once was blind, hallelujah, now I see. So you just don't get shocked. Although shock treatment sometimes get that old mind. What the shock treatment does, it knocks out of your own head your former thinking, allows the doors to open for something new. So glory to God, a little shock treatment by that famous chiropractor, Brother Branham, who adjusted the neck so the head could come down. We just go to his textbook called The New Rules of Health, and we're on our way. Now, I preached a sermon there and used a lot of scripture to back up everything I said.
Amen.
I wasn't fooling. I wasn't being facetious. So let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, it's so good to be with your people here that we love in the Lord Jesus Christ and count to be as dear servants of yours and fellow members of that great pilgrimage which is going on to New Jerusalem. And we thank you for it, Lord, because we feel their love and their sincerity in you. And we feel, Lord, they're just like people in the Old Testament who stood out there in the rain with their mouths open for the former and the latter rain. And we respect this, Lord, because that's the people who said, Lord, wet us all over and just drench us. And this is what we believe that you've done in the end time, Lord. You drenched your people with the Word of God. And that drenching, Lord, has become a garment where the bride makes herself ready to put on immortality and go and be with you. And we're not speaking lightly, Lord, but we feel our prayer is exactly according to your own word, which you set forth. And because, Lord, we know that we're saying your word and giving it back to you, that you're hearing us. And we know we got the petition we desired, which is this, to give us the bread of life this morning. Feed us, O God, from your own holy, anointed, revealed word this morning. Don't let us have any error, O God. Don't let our own thinking come in on the subject, Lord. But let us be very humble this morning, Lord, and bring every thought into captivity to the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And may mouth and ear be anointed with that one same Spirit. And may we be fed, O God, of thee, and we'll be careful to give you the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. If you turn to the book of Ephesians, the first chapter and the fifth verse, and then a couple more in the book of Romans, Ephesians 1 and 5, it says, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. And then in Romans the 8th chapter and verse 19, it says that for the earnest expectation of creation, not the creatures, literally the creation, waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. And then in verse 23 it says, and not only they but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves, grown within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, the redemption of the body. Now you'll notice, please, that two verses that we read had to do with the adoption. That's Ephesians 1 and 5 and Romans 8, 23. And one verse, Romans 8 and 19, spoke of manifestation. Two places it says adoption, and one place it says manifestation, both talking about the sons of God. The Bible also says that all creation is waiting for the unveiling of the sons of God. In verse 21 it says, because the creature or creation itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Now, creation is waiting for this manifestation of the sons of God in order to be delivered from the bondage in which it resides at this corruption, at this moment. Now notice the Bible says that nature is corruptible. And that's true, but thank God there is coming a time when this problem, which is in the minds of all the politicians of the world and all the people, the problem of pollution, right today, men destroying the earth, that man will not be able to deal with it, but God will. With this problem, and then there will be no more corruption because there will be absolutely no more pollution after the sons of God have been perfectly unveiled in this world. Now also notice that those who are born of God, that is, these born ones of God, who possess the Spirit of His life, eternal life, and they have this eternal life in them, are also groaning, because they are in a corruptible state, for they are waiting for this placing. For it says in verse 23, but not only they, but ourselves also. Now notice what he says about us. We have the first fruits of the Spirit. See? But even though we have the first fruits of the Spirit, that is, we have eternal life already in us, we are groaning because we have to wait for this manifestation. So the Scripture here teaches us that all creation, that is, all the people and all of nature, even the born-again people, are waiting for the manifestation or the adoption or the placing of the sons of Almighty God. So now we can draw a conclusion from what we have discovered so far, and that is that the manifestation of the sons of God, for which all creation is looking, is in reality the placing of sons. That manifestation, that unveiling, is identical, is just another expression for the adoption or the placing of sons. Now, to the sons it is placing, God placing the sons, who were foreordained to this end, whatever that placing is, see? But to the world it is manifestation. In other words, it is a bringing into view, see? Bringing up into a view, see? Now, we also note that this manifestation, which comes from the placing or positioning of sons, can only come at the end time. It can come at no other time, because it takes place in the resurrection and the rapture period of time. Now, you'll notice that I'm very careful here, because here is where the argument comes. When does it take place? And I say it takes place at the end time, at that period of time, wherein the resurrection and the rapture will also come about. Now, let's look at Romans, the 8th chapter, again, verse 23. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves, groaner than ourselves, waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. Now notice they have in there an interpolated to it. Now that's not in the Greek. Not even, it might be there inadvertently or in the sense of the admission of the sense, but it's not in there. Now I haven't made an actual study of this, but let's look at it. Supposing it said we're waiting for the adoption, then it says the redemption of the body. You could have the same thought, but it could be a related idea and not the very same thing. So we leave it just the way it is there. And don't try to influence our thinking to the extent of saying, now this has got to be only on the day of the resurrection. Just let it sit. Instead, we go to 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, to show you why I say it is resurrection and rapture season. Notice in verse 51 of chapter 15, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. What is the subject? The subject is we shall all be changed, those that are in the ground and those that are not in the ground. Now notice, when? In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. It really says, for this corruptibility shall put on incorruptibility, and this mortal shall put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruptibility, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O death, not grave. O death, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. Now, I want you to notice something here. You all know what it means to have an interpolation or something in parentheses in a sentence. What it does not change the meaning. It merely actually amplifies the meaning by means of an expression to give you clarity of thought. Now, the 52nd verse is actually an interpolation. Now, let's read it again. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. We shall all be changed. For this corruptible, see, he's speaking of the people living and who will be living at the end time. Verse 53, for this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. Now, he doesn't say that which has already died, does it? That goes without saying, because that's the resurrection. He's speaking in terms of the people living must have something happen to them. Now, the word corruptible is like you taking your fingers here and scratching on the material until actually you wear it out. That's what it means. And I know that's the actual Greek because Brother Dave and I looked it up a few years ago, and we took word by word on this, see? And then this mortal, which in the Latin is mortus, which is death doomed, I think it's identical to the Greek, this must put on immortality. Now, he says, so when this corruptible heresy, which you can do to, wear it out, and then it'll go into the grave, shall have put on incorruptibility. See, standing right here, something comes where this thing, in spite of the fact that everybody else has gone down, isn't going to go down. See? Now, and this mortal shall have put immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in a victory. Now, the word swallow up in the actual Greek, though at the time I was praying about this, did not know it was the Greek. The actual Greek is where an animal catcher, it caught a wild animal. I used to use it as a dog catcher and a steel net. But the literal Greek is where an animal, wild animal catcher, catches the wild animal. Now, he doesn't kill the animal. He renders him powerless, though he is there. Now, death is still here, but rendered impotent in the case of these living. And when it's rendered impotent in the case of these living, then also the dead can come up. Something's got to happen to bring the dead out of the grave. Now, it doesn't mean that we're changed yet physically. It just that something happens. Now, when does it happen? At the last trump. Now, when's the last trump? In the days of the voice of the seventh messenger when he shall begin to sound. It is not the seventh last trump from heaven. That's to the Jews. Under the sixth seal in a 3.5-year period. Corruptibility isn't then. It changed to incorruptibility. This is blessed and holy, and he that hath part in the first resurrection, on such a second death hath no power that be priests and kings unto God, and reign and rule him 1,000 years. You're talking about something entirely different. It's at the last trump, it's the message that puts this on, because he came to clothe the bride. See? That's absolutely what he taught us. And that's in this, and they believe the seventh seal that's in the seventh, in the seals, where he takes the, where the sword is in his hand, and that's when he screams out, he said, bring on your holy garment with the word of God standing by. What in the name of common sense has a garment got to do with the sword? Well, it's right here. Just what he told us he'd do. The sword is the word of God. See? That vision, he said, slid right into the Bible. And it slid right into 1 Corinthians 15 and 52 and 53 and 54. See, it came to pass. Now, this is why I say this subject is in this period. See, at the end time, where there's going to be a resurrection, where there is going to be a rapture. It couldn't take place at any other time. So you see why I've chosen my words to say in the period or the season. I did not say at the instant. And I did not put it in the 30 to 40 day period where the saints will be on the earth with the other resurrected dead. But I've got to put it at this particular season. Now you'll find Brother Branham does the same thing, so don't worry about it. I'm just letting you know now, watching my language, where it is placed on this very ground. And this, O death, where is thy sting? O death, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. Well, the bride has got to come to place. Now, we know perfection is absolute in the resurrection. The Brother Branham said perfection takes place after resurrection. We realize that entirely. But remember, something has got to happen, he said, to put this bride in there. See, what is it? It's right in this period where Paul is speaking when the victory comes that will bring about the world into a non-chaotic condition. Now, that's all we have in our mind at this minute. There's coming a day when that through the manifested sons, what Paul said would take place at the end time, corruption would vanish. See? Now, with just those thoughts in mind, let's go on now. We also note that according to Ephesians, the first chapter, verses 3 to 5, so let's read them. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly place in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him, in love having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Now, predestination speaks of a destiny which has been chosen beforehand. But remember, if you have a predestination, then you must finally come to the destination. Now, when do we hit the destination for what we've been predestined? See, this is the point. Now, notice, according to these verses, that this is the ultimate purpose of God for the church. And according to Brother Branham, it has been an unrevealed mystery until the end time. So therefore, simply reading this, you and I do not have the ability to interpret it. It's got to be explained to us what is happening and what will happen in the hour in which we live. You follow me? Now, if it was revealed before, then there's no problem. We just say, well, hallelujah, this is it, I see it, glory to God. But you don't, you can't, because it's been unrevealed. So therefore, a revealer must reveal the doctrine. He's got to come and say, it is this, it is this, it is this. Just like your no eternal hell doctrine. Well, you say, well, bless God, I can see in the Bible, it says the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Well, of course, we could sure smash that one just by human reasoning in 15 flat seconds. But I'd just soon go with the prophet. When he takes Malachi, where he says in the fourth chapter, shall neither leave the root nor branch, he said, now where is your eternal hell? Now, he said, that's pitting Scripture against Scripture. It is not. It is explaining the Scripture, which is by revelation. See? And you'd be surprised, the people that leave this message, because they want an eternal hell. Who for? For even the devil to fry in, I will. Leave it up to God. What kind of a spirit do people have on him anyway? Doesn't the bride say, Father, forgive them? Now, we can't ask God to forgive whom he will not forgive, but at least that's the kind of a spirit we have. Like Paul, they could say, I could wish myself accursed. Well, that could never happen. But surely there comes a time in somebody's life when he'll say, God, I'd be willing to give myself for this people. Just take me. It's got to be that way. See? So I common sense would tell you, by looking at the revealed majesty of Christ and the simplicity of a simple gospel that we've known, John 3:16, who'd want an eternal hell? See? But it took a prophet to come along and give us the truth on it. See? So he said at the end time, he said, this is an unrevealed mystery until the end time. But at the end time, which is now, this mystery or the understanding of what is to take place must have been given to us through the prophet. It must be in his messages. All right? With this, we go to Ephesians, the third chapter. We better not yet. We better read a little further in this first chapter. We better read on now. Let's take verse 6. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. You know, imagine, that's not even asking him. What if he didn't ask him to forgive you? Well, that he still said, it's still according to his grace. So I'm not trying to tell you now, don't confess your sins. I'm just trying to show you where we stand. See? Now, it's his grace. Wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. Isn't that a statement? Having made known unto us the mystery of his will, which is up here on the adoption, see? According to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, not before, but only then, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are in earth, even in him. See? In whom also we have obtained an inheritance. Now notice it doesn't say all people in Christ. He says all things.
big difference. Vietnam people is Vietnam people. Many people think, oh, that means glory to God, all get together. But it doesn't say that. Anybody knows that's going to happen anyway. But things is different. Every time I see the word things, it has to do with the revelation of God's word. You know, at this end time, if I'm saying this thing right, and I believe I am, because Brother Branham sure laid it on the line, not in the words I use, but his own, he went clean back to those things that nobody could even look at and bring them right down here. And every time it just came right out with this word here, but they were hidden. See? Now, even in him, in whom also, that's Jesus, we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in him. I see he's talking about this mystery. Over in the third chapter now, beginning at the first verse, for this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which is given me to you, word, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in a few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge and the mystery of Christ. In other words, he just says, I just wrote it back here a couple chapters ago. He said, we're putting the whole thing together for you. I understand this mystery. See? Which in other generations, the word ages is not quite correct, in other generations was not made known unto the sons of men as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. Now, you see, that gives the lie to people who think that you can just pick this Bible up at any age and understand it. You can't do it. It's every age, every generation has the word and the revelation of the hour. See? Now, I don't care how wonderful the prophet Daniel was, he just didn't have it. See? I don't care what a great man Arrhenius was, it wasn't for him. I don't care how great Luther was, and I've got some of his volumes. The exposition, absolutely fantastic. Now, I don't know if you can talk about Wesley. And Wesley wasn't one-tenth the scholar that Luther was. No siree. There was one of the greatest scholars of all ages, but Luther didn't have it. He had a potential. Wesley didn't have it. It can only come at this end time when it's the age or the generation, that's the word, see, generation, not age, really, because an age can go hundreds of years. See? But remember Brother Branham said, in every generation, God brings in that seed. There never fails to be a time, every 40 years there's a move, bring them in, bring them in. See, never fails. Now you got the same thing here. You got a revelation every age. See, Lutheran age, and each generation, well, doing, coming up. See, from that seed. Now you got Wesleyan, the central truth goes out, every age gets the need of the hour. Now, you get the end time, what is it? The word of God goes out, and what happens? There's got to be a revelation and a consummation. Why? Because the seed has within it the full potential. See? Now, every generation was not, which another generation was not made known to the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto us, unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers we promised in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual work of his power. Unto me, whom less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. Now take it back to the first chapter, the adoption of sons. That's what you're looking for. The same thing here. Now, to the intent that now, under the principalities and powers in heavenly places, might be made known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. What was that manifold wisdom? To have the adoption of sons. See, it's all the same subject. That's why Ephesians parallels Joshua. That's why he preached on hear ye him, manifested sons, and predestinated mysteries will. They're all in continuity. See? He's not talking about several different things. Now, to the intent that now the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be made known by the church, the manifold wisdom of God, which, according to eternal purpose, which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and confidence, and access, rather, with confidence by the faith of him. Now, you can see what he is saying here, what Brother Branham said. This could only come into view at the end time. See? As much as it's in the Scripture here, which it is, you can't get it until the end. See? And remember, by faith, you look for the word of the hour. Then when it becomes real to you, you don't look for it anymore because you got it. For what a man sees, what did he yet hope for? But you see, we're looking for it because it hasn't come yet, but this is the hour, so look for it. Now, when you get it, you just be a part of it. See, there's something great that God has purposed in His wisdom that's in this end-time revelation, which is called the adoption of the manifestation, Brother Branham taught us, for this very hour. Okay, the fourth chapter of the book of Ephesians. Let's read it, verse 9. Now he that ascended, what is it? But he also descended first the lower parts of the earth. He that descended the same also ascend up far above all heavens, they might fill all things. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors, some teachers. The actual rendering, according to Brother Branham, is what? Apostles, prophets, teachers, evangelists, pastors. Fivefold ministry of elective grace. Now, what for? Why did he give them? For the perfecting of the saints. Now, the word perfect has a dual meaning. It has the thought of consummation plus the thought of finishing, wherein a man builds a cabinet and takes that fine steel wool and just makes it perfect. You see, there it is. It's finished. It's according to plans. It's perfect. It's without flaw. Now, you see, if that wood works with flaw, you come along and say, well, I'll tell you what, sir. I'll tell you, I'm going to cut the price down on this. Now, can you imagine a bride being anything but perfect through the precious blood of Jesus Christ? You just couldn't believe it. You couldn't have a bride that wasn't perfect. With the price having been paid, there'd be nothing but perfection. And yet, it's finished. So he's given a fivefold ministry to this end. And now I do mean end, E-N-D. The whole consummation. Now listen. He's given the ministry for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, so there's got to be a ministry amongst here, of the word, for the edifying of the body of Christ, building up the body of Christ. See? You talk about the Virgin Mary building up the body of Christ. Do you know that that's what's going on right now? Through a God-given ministry of the word, be it unto me according to thy word, and that same word in the bride is actually building up Christ, building up a body. See? Now, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. Now, that's an absolute revelation right there. Till we all come to it. Now, evidently, they hadn't come to it. If you're going to come to the town, you haven't come to the town. See? Now, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now, notice, this is not to the individual, although he's in there. This is to the church. And I speak in the highest terms of the word church, the bride. See? That, now notice now, what is the end? Well, I'm going to have character, glory to God. Go ahead, don't believe the prophet. See? See, nail it right down to what he said this is. Now, I've had my ear slapped back by him, I'm going to slap your ears back. Because that great theologian who came to him that week and said, Brother Branham, that thing we're looking for is character. I was that great theologian. He just thought I wouldn't get it if he said great theologian. I got it. I may be ignorant, but I'm not stupid. There's a big difference. See? Till what? I'm not saying character is going to be missing. That's not it. See? Get your picture. Get exactly what he was saying, because when he was nailed down, he could make it very exact. Now, what are we coming to? That we be no more children. What are we going to be? We're going to be sons. You're not going to be children. You got to come to adulthood, maturity. No more tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. When did this start? In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 2 and 3. I've espoused you to Christ as a chaste virgin, but I fear lest as Satan beguile you, so your minds. See? Should be filled with something other than what is actually the revealed word of Almighty God. Now, he said, you're going to be going through that for 2,000 years. But there's going to come a time when you won't be that way anymore. Now, Paul prophesied that it would be that way, and he turned around and prophesied there'd come a time when it wouldn't be that way. Now, how's it going to come? It's going to come through the ordained way that God ordained it. See? And it's through a ministry, of which the prophet, of course, is the central eye. And I use the term eye because that's right. He was the eye, the eagle. Now, that we no more be that, see? Whereby they lie in wait to deceive. He said the bride can't be deceived. Paul said they would be deceived. Now he turns around and says she won't be deceived. But that tells you there's a period of time when she is deceived. That tells you there's a time when, when she would have a right, because of this condition, not to line up to that word 100% in her mind. In other words, she could be forgiven her fornications, but there'd come a time when the whoring mind would be closed, thank God. Then if you went away, there's no place to go. You had it. That's why I stand with this word and say, if this isn't it, there's nothing to nothing. You say, but Brother Vail, wouldn't you just know I wouldn't do nothing? You say, why not? Because that's Bible. And I can prove it's Bible because the apostle said, when Jesus said, will you go? He said, where should we go? Thou alone hast the words of eternal life. Well, he could have said, now, chut, I'm a great theologian. Why don't you go back to Judaism, bless God, because they were nice to you? Well, why don't you wait a while? There may be somebody else. He said, that's my boy. Come on, let's stand with the word of God. Pardon my little way up here putting things across, but I do this on purpose. You know that by now. Now, thank you. That's nice. You're a sweet boy, Barry. I'm pray for you. Sir. Listen, I'm telling you the truth. Listen, but speaking the truth in love. What if you don't know it and all you got's love? Preach it, Brother Dale. You bet I'm going to thank you for your confidence. What if you got love but not truth? Then your preaching's vain. He didn't say run around love. He said, take the truth. Right? And you people wouldn't say amen to nothing. Come on now. The prophet said it was not love. He said the evidence of the baptism with the Holy Ghost was receiving the word of the hour. And that's exactly what the Bible said, for he shall show you that which is to come. And there's no use showing you what's down the road, brother, sister. You better know what's here. Because it's not the ditch down the road that'll bust your neck. It's the ditch at your feet. You better know what's now. You with me? Thank you. That's real sweet of you. Speaking the truth in love may grow up into him. And there's no other way. In all things. You're right back to that word, the Spirit revealing all things. Okay. Which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, notice, the whole body, Christ the head, the whole body, but it comes from the feet. See, comes from the feet first. Joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies. How many joints in the body? Seven. Fella said to me one day, Brother, what's the body made of? I said, members. Oh, he said, I mean, what's the body? Well, I said, I got on my high horse a bit, because I knew he was trying to gig me, get me off the word. I said, what do you mean? I said, I told you the Bible says it's made of members. What else do you want to know? Well, he said, hasn't it got arms and legs? So I said, you mean head, trunk, and body theory. I said, that's not the Bible. Okay, seven joints, seven church ages. Is that right? There's only seven church ages, seven joints. Every joint's got a supply. I can't supply the first church age. It can't supply me. My feet can't supply my neck. My neck can't supply my feet. It's got to go up, 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 each age supplying. What is the supply? Well, it's the Word of God. Every joint supplying the Word for the day, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part. And every part has a measure, and all measures aren't equal. Prove it here. What does the fourth church age have? Nothing but almost nothing.
Don't kill the oil and wine. Spare that teensy-weensy bit that's in there. But believe me, it is teensy-weensy bit. They're all but dead. Look at the first church age. A mighty lion rushing out there. See? Then it began to go down. Down until a little glimmer left in the fourth age. What did it have? Of the word, it had so little as to be pitiful, but the grace of God which makes up because of grace, they had everything they needed. Now you're coming to another age. You're coming to the age of the measure of the seventh age. The seventh joint has got to supply something that no other age could supply. Because you're growing up into Him. See? Now, maketh increase the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Now, what are we talking about? We're talking about a literal body called the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, which according to Ephesians is the bride, which is His body. Now notice, it tells you in that verse 13, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. Now where? Unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now the point is this, when does Christ become full? When the bride becomes full? When does she become full? At the seventh church age. See? Now then, it's at this time, and only this time, that you have actually grown up into Him according to that which the joint produces. And what joint produces what? The seventh church age joint produces the full, consummate revelation of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And you're no more a child tossed to and fro. You have become a man. Now this is in this age. I don't care what look the first 40 years look like. That doesn't appall me one little bit. Hasn't got anything to do with it. We are looking to bring forth the Son as Abraham and Sarah did to bring forth the child, even so the bride will bring forth the child. But it's got to come in the fullness of time at a certain season. So we're looking forward to this time now when this bride having grown up, and she's come to the end time, and the bride is finished. Now, what will this fullness be? We've never seen a fullness, really. Then what's it going to be in the bride? It's got to be then the full revelation and the full life of Christ in a bride.
Amen.
It's got to be. You just can't put it any other way. I don't care what the mind says up here, and the mind wants to boggle down. Let's stick with what the prophet said.
Amen.
See, and I'll quote you the verses. Don't worry, see. He said, we've got to have a refilling. What for? We're already full of the Holy Ghost. Who needs a refilling? Because we're dealing with what the Spirit of God does in the ages. Never mind what He did through Luther. That was important. And it's a part of it. And we don't throw it out. But they don't have this. What we're talking about, see? How could anybody deny John 14 and 12, greater works than these should you do because I go to my Father? And that day you'll know that I am in you and you in me and the Father and me and I and the Father, so on until there's a complete oneness. When has that ever taken place? See? When has there been a fullness manifested in the bride? We're not talking now about one or two people. That's where people get all mixed up in the stature of perfect man. They try to make it an individual thing and it won't work. It's the church through the ages. Brother Branham's message was consistently the church coming to maturity and showing what the age produced. Everybody wants to put it on a man. You can't do it. We're talking about a bride. See? Now we're coming to the age. We're coming into this age. Now, as this subject has been taught to us by Brother Branham, it's difficult for most people to see what he was driving at because they consistently confuse sonship with the placing of sons. Or in other words, a child of God and the placing, that same child of God is a son. Also, they've been taught that the placing of the sons is the resurrection and not the capstone ministry of the word and works of Christ in the bride. Now, did you catch it? There are two things where people want to place this only for 30 to 40 days in a resurrection or the resurrection itself and put it in the millennium or someplace else. Now, before it's finished, I'll show you how it works all the way down the line. That isn't my understanding. You go the way you want to go on it. But I said they don't understand the difference between ordinary sonship as a child of God and the placing of sons. And secondly, they don't realize that Brother Branham taught that there would be a capstone ministry of the word and works of Christ in the bride. See, right here. Now, to, first of all, let us see that sonship, or the ordinary fact of being a child of God, is not the placing or the adoption or the manifestation of a son of God. And to do this, we study the life of Jesus Christ, who is the last Adam, the first begotten from the dead, see, talking about the first fruit, then we go to a lump. Why? Because a lump follows the first fruit. See? So if the first fruit of the dough be holy, the whole lump is holy. Now let's take a look at that pinch of dough, so to speak, Christ. The one-membered manifestation of God, now into many-membered manifestation. First of all, let us notice, I'm using Brother Branham's words as well as known. I said, first of all, to understand this, we study Christ, to see him as a son of God, to see his life, to see him placed. Now, Christ acknowledged as a son of God. Brother Branham did not use the word acknowledged. He used the word recognized. You'll find this many places in his sermons. Let me see if I can tell you offhand here. Easter seal, he speaks of recognition. All right. Christ recognized, or my terminology, you can use either one, they're both all right. Recognized or acknowledged as the Son. Let's go to the book of Matthew, the 3rd chapter, and see this. Pardon me. Okay, 13 to 17. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized to him. And John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized to thee, and comest thou to me. And Jesus answering said, suffer to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. And he suffered him. Now watch. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. God acknowledging and recognizing this to be his Son because of the Holy Spirit baptism. Now, if the Holy Ghost had not fallen on him, that would not have been the Son. God recognizing, God acknowledging, this is my Son. See? Now, secondly, you will notice the Son is tested. In Matthew 4, verses 1 to 11, which you well know, the temptation desert, which I will not read, but hastily turn to the book of Hebrews, the 5th chapter. This now, we're going to read verses 7 and 8. Now watch what it says about Jesus, who in the days of his flesh, when he'd offered up prayers and supplication with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all that obey him, called of God, and high priest after the order of Melchizedek. Now you'll notice in here that Jesus Christ is tested and he is tried. See? Acknowledged, tested and tried, put through the proving ground. Then the third thing you'll find is Matthew 17, verses 1 to 5, where he is positionally placed as the Son. Now, he was transfigured before them, verse 2, his face shone as the sun, raiment white as light, and behold, there appeared with him Moses and Elias talking with him. Then answered Peter and said, Jesus, it's unto Jesus, Lord, it's good for us to be here. If thou wilt, we'll make 2-3 tabernacles, one for you, one Moses, one Elijah. And while he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud said, now watch, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased, but 3 words added, hear ye him. Never said that before. And the Son given authority, where God stands back and said, I positionally place him to take over in view of the full authority which is mine, placing it upon his shoulder, you deal with him while I stand back. That's my Son. See? God, having seen that Jesus, like Moses, type, not only was a perfect child, see, coming forth at birth, a goodly child, but this one was obedient to every word. What I see my Father do, I do. What I hear my Father say, or I don't do it. See, I and my Father are one. The absolute identification. This one that was full of the Holy Ghost, fully tested, now fully approved, and he stands up. I gave him the Holy Ghost, thereby acknowledging, not only is this my son because he has got meritorious works, but now I say this is my son with full authority. And remember, it was in the days of his flesh, although the death and resurrection was merely down the road, a short piece, he was the manifested Son of God. See? This is where he was. Now, let's go and take a look at us. There's your parallel. Recognized, tested, manifested, or positionally placed, as Brother Branham said. Let's look at us as Abraham's seed. First of all, then, we must be acknowledged and recognized. So we go, first of all, to the book of Galatians, the fourth chapter, and verses 6 and 7. Now, before I do, I'll read from the Easter Seal. When you receive the Holy Ghost of God, it's God's potential waiting upon you that has already recognized you. And you are sealed by the Spirit of promise of God into the body of Christ. See, it's recognition. Now, let's check it out with a word. Galatians, the fourth chapter, and 6 and 7. It says, and because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Jesus Christ. You'll notice in here that you always were a son, but you were in sin. And God recognizes you. How? Because when you heard the scream of the eagle, you knew that you were another eagle. See? My sheep hear my voice. And the recognition is, coming by the Word, God fills you with the Holy Ghost, and just like Jesus, this is my beloved Son. Now, Jesus was not the Son of God when he received the Holy Ghost. In other words, the Holy Ghost making him a Son of God. He already was a Son of God, and it was the Holy Ghost falling on him that showed that he was. See, in other words, recognition. So it is that you and I were sons of God back in eternity. We're sons of God when we're born. In the sense that we're born ones, we're children, we belong to him. But now with the rebirth by the Holy Spirit, it's because you are a son. See, sheep having gone astray. Pigs don't become sheep. Dogs don't become sheep. You were a sheep. But you're in the stinking hog wallow. You were that chicken on the manure heap. I never saw an eagle go, chomp, when they're chomp, chomp, chomp with his claws. Say, that was good. There's sure a lot of people in the manure heap trying to think they're eagles and acting like a bunch of chickens. You know, there's a certain toughness and roughness about an old eagle. He's no buzzard. A buzzard's not tough like an eagle. An eagle's tough. He doesn't want that kind of junk. He's starved. Beat himself dead trying to get out of a prison. They don't have those miserable qualities that you see in some of the lesser creation. Well, that's the way it is with an eagle. He just simply cannot take anything but the Word. I've had a man come in a meeting one time. And he was just about a cussed individual you ever saw. His wife sat up many a night with a shotgun, didn't have the guts to kill him, she'd have killed him. He liked to abuse her. One day he came, he didn't want to go all the way home and waste the gas, so he sat in the service. He went out, he said, that's the first time in my life I heard the Word of God. He said, that man's right. How did he know I was right? I taught him what the prophet said. From that time on, he was changed. That did it. See? That's what the Word does. See, that's why the prophet, the Brother Branham had to say what Paul said after the first and second admonition, reject. Forget it. This Word of God is not some namby-pamby thing like, let there be light. And light didn't come. He said, I must have muffed that one. I said, let there be light. I think I'll try and see you 4 more times. Is that the Word of God to you? When he said, let there be light, I wonder what a burst of light must have come forth upon that scene to drive away the darkness. It's the same Word of God we've got today, though it be on human lips. And though this moment might not be the moment when those things shall come to pass, I say there is coming a day when those very things will come to pass. Well, these people just don't believe that Word. They think it's some mamby-pamby thing. Don't you believe it for 1 minute. That Word of God supersedes every character, everything a man can do. And I see a day with 500 wives steal another man's wife and commit adultery, almost rape her, because who's going to stop the king doing what he wants? Bring forth an illegitimate child, kill the husband. I want to tell you, God's grace and God's words through that man supersedes anything any man ever had in his life. Exalt that Word! Maybe you'll get to understand why I preach the way I do. I'm just a little bit sick of everything outside of this word. I've had vomit, even ate enough vomit all my life, and spewed enough over the congregation to quit wanting vomit for my diet and want vomit for yours, because if I'm going to give you vomit, I've got to eat it first. Who, brother? Galatians, the 3rd chapter, 26 on. For we are all children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. Certainly, if you... Who but a child of God predestinated is going to have faith? As many as believe were ordained unto eternal life, were ordained to eternal life. If you're not ordained to eternal life, you can't believe. For as many as you have been baptized into Christ to put on Christ, there's neither Jew nor Greek, neither bond nor free, neither male nor female. That's wearing Christ, but not in the church. For you're all one in Christ Jesus. And if you be Christ, then you're Abraham's seed and heirs according to promise. If you're Abraham's seed, what's your promise? The Holy Ghost. Baptism with the Holy Ghost. There you are. See, now listen. There you can see that we are acknowledged. That just like it says in Acts 10, 44 to 46, how did they know that the Gentiles were received of God? For God poured out the Holy Ghost upon them. There they were, just like John at that river. The word of God had come to John and said, John, listen, there's going to be somebody come in front of that crowd and going to say, I want to be baptized. You just keep baptizing, and you keep baptizing. But there's going to be one of them, and he's going to look just like all the rest. Can't tell him anybody else. But the Holy Ghost is going to fall on him. Now here comes the word to Peter. Peter, I'm going to do something for the Gentiles. Go on down there. I've given that man a vision of you coming, so you can tell him the words of God, so he can have me in his life. And Peter goes down there with a few of those hand-picked friends of his, and what happens? He begins preaching the word. Suddenly the Holy Ghost falls. He said, my heaven, there it is. There's children of God just like we are. Same thing. See? Showing you it lines up. The lump with the pinch. The lump with the first fruit. See? Gotta be. Amen. I like that. Now, let's go on. Sons tested. What about these sons? They get tested. Galatians 4. Now, I say that an heir, as long as he's a child, different than a servant, though he be Lord of all. Notice, if you're a real son of God, full of the Holy Ghost, absolutely. You're under tutors to a time appointed by the Father. You're in bonds that beggarly elements of the world. You're going to die. You're going through life being tested. But you're still going to die. You got problems in your hands. Okay? With that, we read on here to Romans, the 8th chapter. More testing. That's 16 to 18. You notice we're only in this last stage when people say testing, testing, testing. 1, 2, 3, 4, testing, testing. Notice it? And there was any other age. They were testing, but they didn't know it. This age we know we're coming in. What for? To be sure you get the clear print. Testing, testing. What? To be manifested son. You think we test these tapes and all. See, testing, testing. It's everything. Everything. There's nothing without some type of typing to it. I'm not good at types, but sometimes something hits me as being a little senseless and yet very sensible. The spirit of self bear witness in verse 16, with our spirit that we are the children of God. What is it? We got the Holy Ghost. We are children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. If so be we suffer with him, that we may be glorified also. You got to go through suffering, see? For I reckon the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us. Why? Because we're waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. See, we're coming into it. And the church has suffered for years. And over here in Hebrews, the 12th chapter, verses 1 to 11, which you can read for yourself because you all know it, it tells you that every son must be tested or he is a bastard and not a true child. And remember when Brother Branham put the church in order, he said, we will find if it's a bastard gift or not, and it would not come under subjection, just like a Korah, Dathan, Abiram, and the gift was genuine, but the people didn't want to be genuine with the gift. Testing has got to come. See? If you're a child of God, you have got to be tested. See? Now, that was the word test. Notice the sons are placed. Romans, the 8th chapter, and we read it before. We just look at it again. 18 to 23, the suffering's not to be compared to the glory. All creation waiting. Creation is subject to this problem. They're waiting for us to be liberated. Everybody's groaning, and we've got the Holy Ghost. We're groaning too. We're waiting for the redemption of the body, see? We're waiting for the time. Now, from what we've read here, showing the picture, we can now see that no matter how spirit-filled was Paul, or any other saint, mighty, wonderful saint, in all the other ages, the placing of sons could not take place until the time or the season for the redemption of the bodies. There positively could not be this great thing to take place. God now dealing with bodies, which is the precious fruit of the earth, to bring them back into light. The bodies were not only to be redeemed from the earth, but remember, redemption also applies to the deliverance of the body to free it from physical ills and suffering. Now let's watch this. Hebrews 11. Now let's get this. Hebrews 11. I want to show you something here. Verse 35. Women received their dead raised to life again. But others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, which in the Greek is redemption. See, they said, we won't allow our bodies to be free from suffering. So there's coming a time right here on earth when there's a group of saints who'll have bodies that are free from suffering. They won't have to go to the ground. See? You've got two kinds. Those that are going to be freed out of the ground and those that are free on top of the ground. Now, you know that's got to happen. And when's it going to happen? It can't happen until the season for it. See, but it's got to happen. But only in season. See? Everything's in the season. Let me prove that to you. If I can find it, which I'm pretty sure I can. Titus. The first chapter, verse 3. But hath in due times manifested his word through preaching. This in the original Greek. And this is not a paraphrase, but a very, very full rendering of the Greek to the English in a modern day way. But in his own private and strategic seasons. Do you know God's a God of strategy? He'd better be if he's got a devil running around like we think he is. In his own private. He doesn't even tell you. He's got to let you in on a mystery through somebody somehow. In his own private and strategic seasons, he made known his word in a proclamation with which I was entrusted in accordance with the commandment of God. Now, you remember what I just said here. Take it off this tape, and you get a hold doing God a service on page 16. I think it might be a Sparks edition on that. I'm almost sure. God in his own private and strategic season. Isn't that what Brother Branham said about that seventh seal? God wouldn't tip his hand or the devil would get it and run with it? Strategy. Season. Hey, amen. I like what the prophet taught. I never found anybody ever prove him wrong. Of course, they can all argue, but who cares? We ain't argues, we're believers. Yeah, see, amen, like that. Now, the word redemption in here, deliverance is redemption. Now, the only way the body can be delivered from its physical problems and temptation is by death. Or, when you're going to get free, when you die. Or, what other way? By God bringing into effect at a certain time what he promised to the end time believer that he would not die, but put on immortality. See? God must get the bride back to where she was before she fell. Now that's exactly what Brother Branham said, now you know it. See, now he's not talking about somebody dead. Also, it must be Christ coming and working in the bride the same power that he used to overcome the grave in order for her to miss death and bring up the rest of the bride from the grave. Now let's just check it out and see if that's right. Ephesians, the first chapter, 17 to 20. Notice, Paul prayed that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Why? That the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, you may know. But do they know at this age? No, they don't know. So therefore, this age must receive the Holy Ghost as the spirit of revelation. I don't care if the Pentecostal age he came and they talked in tongues. I don't care if the manifestation was the outpouring of the Holy Ghost to the end they had gifts. This is the age, brother, sister, where we're wretched, naked, miserable, and blind and don't know it, so we need a revelation to throw us into reverse. Amen. I said in the reverse, because we're going to hell and think we're going to heaven. See? That's right. You know that's the truth. Now, this age has got to have our eyes open. The understanding must be open that we may know what is the hope of his calling. That means they don't know what it is. What the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, that means they don't know what it is. We're going to know. And what? And notice finally, what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the work of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand. That's got to be known in the bride. Got to be. Why? Because it says your eyes be open to revelation, and that's got to take place now, not in the resurrection. Now, Paul prays it. Remember, the whole chapter is Ephesians. I mean, the whole book is Ephesians parallels Joshua. And remember, Joshua is the type of the Holy Ghost life of the believer, not the millennium. The millennium is resurrection. Right? Is that what the prophet said? Then let's believe it. Don't you take this book here out of context. It's Joshua. Right? Did he say it? Then believe it. I don't care where it goes. If it goes bluey, stand with the prophet. He said, I'll be responsible. You see, is it going to go bluey? No. Can't. Everything that God does looks like it's going to go bluey. Don't worry, don't worry. Catholics are still mourning. Oh, why did Luther leave? Oh, why did Luther leave? Oh, why did Luther leave? Get out of that nonsense. Get out of your thinking, Brother Brand said. Get out of your thinking. Can I say me? Get out of your own thinking. If he told us what it is, that's what it is. And then go on back to Joshua. See? That's, is that right? That's what we do. Why? Because he said so. He's vindicated. Where else would you go? See? Now, that's coming to pass at this age. Now, having covered this much scripture, we can go on and find out what the placing actually is. Now, I'm going to do some reading and quoting. Hear ye him, preached in Phoenix. I think 1960. Now, you ministers know what I'm getting at. They sure didn't. I wish they had. Placing of a son. I don't mean our group. I mean the others. Now, if that son is proven to be a right kind of a son, loves the father's business, stays right with his instructions, then the father on a certain day puts that son out before the public, sets him on a high place, clothes him in the beautiful garment, and he had what they call the adoption of a son. Placing a son, positionally what he was. They had a ceremony, and the father said, this is my son, I adopt him, or place him positionally, and if they had checks in those days, that son's name on the check was just as good as his father's name because he was placed. And the son could hire and fire whom he wanted to. He was in full possession of the what the father had. Now remember, Brother Branham spoke on the seals, the one came down with a book of redemption. Where are we today? We're right in those seals and that book of redemption where he gets back the title to all that was gone and it's happening now. Is that what he said? Or read it for yourself. Read it in the breach. See? Now, and all the way through too, about the first four or five seals, he hit that very, very hard. Now you see Jesus had proven to God that he'd been the right kind of a son, and God took him up on top of the mountain, brought witnesses out there, both heavenly and earthly, and clothed him in immortality. That's your season, see? It's got to be right in the immortality season. I want to ask you a question. Was he immortal? How come he died? He didn't live forever. It's only when the body was raised he had immortality. Christ alone had true immortality. See, watch your scripture. So Brother Branham said so-and-so. He said so-and-so, but take everything he said right with the Bible. Or you'll be running somewhere. You'll make him God and this and that and the other thing. See? Now, we don't do those things like that. We stick with it. Now, let me get back to what I was reading here. Okay. Clothed in immortality. His garment shone like the sun. Something supernatural had taken place. God was showing that he had received him. That's the thing that God will do to his sons on earth someday. He'll call you aside, church, if you'll only obey him and stand on the word and believe it, and he'll place into the church before the coming of Jesus Christ all the powers that Christ had in him. All that God was, now watch Brother Rand's beautiful language, even with his inability to use grammar properly, he still did. Now listen, all that God was, he poured, P-O-U-R-E-D, past tense, into Jesus. And all that Jesus was, he pours, P-O-U-R-S, he is pouring, into the church. When's he going to get through pouring? When the last one comes in. Then what's going to happen? Don't ask me, but it's sure going to be wonderful, and I want to be right there to watch. See? God wanting the work done sent it into the church. At that day, you'll know that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, and I in you, and you in me. Notice where he puts that day? At that day, because the same power that is in us is in Jehovah, God rested in Jesus. The same power that rested in Jesus Christ rests in the place, sons, in the body of Christ. Placing of a son, took him out in a certain place, have a ceremony before angels, and place him positionally what he is in the body of Christ. What he is. Then that person has the authority. Let me say that if you count me a fanatic from this night on, the very same thing I'm speaking of will be done. There'll be a power come into the church, and now is coming in that the Holy Spirit will so anoint the people till they'll speak the word, and it will create itself like that. We haven't seen power that's come into the church now. I know it for a fact. Say to this mountain, be moved. Don't doubt in your heart, but believe that what you say shall come to pass. You can have what you have said. The placing of the church in the position where the fullness of the power of God comes into the church. Just what I read in Ephesians 1:17-20. Then the critic's mouth will be shut. It'll be a short time. Jesus just came off the mountain and went straight to Calvary. See, short time. Notice it won't last long, but it will be there. Adoption, May 22, 1960. Adoption, placing positionally. Where are they at? Show me where they're at. God calling his children aside by manifestation. They don't have to say one word about it. You see, something's happened. Positionally placing his son, getting him into order. Just exactly the same thing. He's just as much authority. His words are as good as angels, archangels, better. The son was adopted. Put him on a high place. Set him out there, change his robes, change his color. The father had a ceremony and said, this is my son. From henceforth, he's governor. He's ruler over all my heritage. All I've got belongs to him. Page 17, same sermon. Do you believe in dispensations? Now listen, dispensation of time, dispensation of Mosaic law, dispensation of John the Baptist, the dispensation of Christ, the dispensation of organization. There was the dispensation of the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. Now is the dispensation of adoption. Are we raptured? Are we changed? No, but it's the season. This is the age. This is the time. See, I'm not trying to pinpoint you to a day or an hour. I'm just showing you what's coming. And it's got to be in the bride now. And according to what he said, there is a manifestation. What it is, I don't know, you don't know. Won't matter. It'll be there. Now, the world is waiting, groaning. When the dispensation of the fullness of time comes, when the dead rises, when the sickness ceases, when all the earth ceases to groan. That's what I said, sickness ceases. It's in that season. There's deliverance for the body standing right here. Nobody's going to be sick again. It's in that bride. See, notice again, but this is the day of the manifestation of the sons of God when the mysteries which have been hidden since the foundation of the world will be made known. They've been made known right now. See, it's the hour that we're living in. See, when this great thing, Christ, completely revealed in the bride, comes in. Now, again, predestinated mysteries will. We've got a ministry coming that's just exactly like the life of Christ. What does this ministry identify? The coming of the Lord. After the church takes its position. After it takes its position. Remember, he emphasized strongly on the position of believers. When they knew what they were, he said the rapture would take place. We're called to, I'm going to read it again. After the church takes its position, we're called to the adoption of sons by the Holy Ghost. And when a man takes his position, what God has called him to do, and stands to the end of the road, going after the lost. Now, evidently, this is going on while you're seeking the lost. See? You're coming to the end of the road. Why is the world and nature groaning and crying? For the manifestation of the sons of God. When true sons, born sons, filled sons speak, and their word is that. I believe we're on the border of it right now. Yes, sir. Say this mountain. Let it be so, brother. I desire so-and-so, a certain thing done. I'm a believer in Jesus Christ. I give it to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a manifestation. Oh, brother, my crops are burning up out yonder. I haven't rain. I'll send you rain in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and there it comes. Brother Branham, by the spoken word, creating squirrels. When? Before his death. See? Now, there are many more quotations one could use. But from these, it's evident that this is the third pole in manifestation of bride. Now, why do I say that? because Brother Branham said the third pull would be creative word in the bride. He says the same thing in 1960 about manifested son. Nowhere after the opening of the seals did he make any correction concerning what he spoke in 1960, so therefore there was nothing to correct. Now, had there been an error, he would have had to correct it. Because remember, the opening of the seals, which is the restoration of the word, corrects the errors. See? And reveals the mysteries. He tells you this was to do what the former ages could not have done because it wasn't time and where they missed the boat. But now we're coming into the full revelation of Christ. Why? It has to be because we're coming to the fullness. I hope you're getting this because we don't talk anymore about you and me being full of the Holy Ghost. It's the church. That's why they missed the token. And many people don't understand, went around saying nobody's got the Holy Ghost because they heard the token sermon. They're wrong. Luther had the Holy Ghost. Wesley had the Holy Ghost. Every member of the Bride of Christ had the Holy Ghost. But it wasn't the day of the manifestation of the revelation of the fullness, the refilling. When you have a dynamic manifestation, a revelation of that word. See? Seeing the word of God in power for many ages, but not by revelation. We're in it now. Now listen, speaking the creative word, or speaking, and what they say coming into being, the words of no man can do that. Only the word of God come. So the word and the bride become one, and she has thus set the Lord. Now that's where coming in it. Coming right up to it. See? I don't say that Brother Branham prophesied and said, thus saith the Lord, 1977 is going to end it all, but on the basis of those seven major visions that God gave him, which was a spiritual revelation, on the basis of his understanding history and the hour in which he lived, he said we would have to be in the millennium by 1977. Place this adoption where you will. It's adoption time now. We're in it. See? We're in this period. We're in resurrection season. Why? Because Israel's back in the homeland, and when she's back there, it's the hour of calling life to the dead, and Israel was not dead. She was blind. A blind person's not dead. So it's resurrection season, Romans 11. I hope you caught that. Read it, get it for yourself, you'll find it. Now listen, now the prophet said the church could do this only when she has positioned her place. As I understand adoption, that's my understanding, it will take place before the resurrection or our change. For would there be a necessity then of giving somebody rain? It could be to the total loss, but it will still be there. Now, I'm not saying it will not continue after the resurrection. I don't know. All I'm trying to get across is now there is something coming based upon this word that is going to be in this bride. Now, since this adoption is a manifestation that all can see, they'll see it, don't worry. You won't have to talk about it, it'll be there. It will truly make a difference between bride and non-bride. It might make one wonder why Brother Branham said the real showdown is Mount Zion, which is the rapture. That's true. Now listen, up until this time, that is when the creative word is in the bride, there is no way to judge except by the word test. And you know where that word test starts? With thus saith the Lord. Anybody that dares to have one thought contrary to the prophet on the grounds of thus saith the Lord does not believe this message. Now, I don't care what anybody says. I'm going to be plump and strong because Brother Branham said that's where it starts. If you can't see thus saith the Lord, I'm just sorry for it. You're still not one. And if you want to be one, you're going to have to come that way. Because you can't argue with thus saith the Lord. You just can't. That's why there's no place to go from here. Because if you've got a God that allowed a prophet to come in his name with thus saith the Lord and back that man up and he's wrong, then forget God. Forget him. Because if being Antichrist can produce that, and being for Christ and with Christ can't produce even that, then you and I are stuck, and I mean, brother, sister, we're stuck. We've been duped with some type of spiritual law that's in the universe that nobody will get until he dies and finds out. And then we might say, well, it's just too bad we didn't have a boom-up great time in the flesh, and at least we would have had that much. Take thus saith the Lord, you can't take anything. You've got to just stand back with your mouth open, your hands down, and say, my God, what else? Sit back like a sponge. Sit back like the canvas of the screen that receives the light on the projector. And remember, the projector doesn't even move up and down, and the screen doesn't move up and down. They both stand there, and the man that runs the projector and out-focuses the light. You just wait for God to do something for you. Why? Because you had thus saith the Lord. You're finished. What next, Lord? What next, Lord? Well, he said the moon was green. Well, hallelujah. I thought it was yellow, but the moon's green. So I know that sounds silly. If you say, just go ahead and be sensible. Just go ahead and lose your soul. You produce one, thus saith the Lord. Well, I know man's great ministry. I don't care if you know man's 1,000 greater ministry. Just one, thus saith the Lord. That's all I want. So go ahead. See? How great was Christ's ministry? One day he goes down, heals a multitude, and then from then on sits on back and just picks them one at a time. Oh, well, his ministry sure went downhill. Sure did, so let's throw Jesus on the garbage wagon too. You see where you go? You see what happens when you begin letting your own thinking go? You can be crossed up until you haven't got any place to stand. See? Amen. Stick with the prophet. Listen. Now, I see, up until this time we give him the word test. Now, at adoption time, there will be the creative word and a powerful ministry with men like Stephen and a mighty demonstration. And Brother Branham said, even Ananias and Sapphira will repeat. Now, why did they repeat? Because they tried to come in and be a part of that which they weren't ordained to. And they said, we are. They lied to the Holy Ghost. And that finished it. The bride will surely be separated. See, not because she wants to. She just will be. Remember, no man durst join themselves to that group in Solomon's porch, right in the temple. Now then, the worldly church will not see the truth, but fight all the harder. And I believe, this is my opinion now, you can do what you want with it. I believe even amongst those who now teach this message, there will arise greater differences and greater animosity. I really believe it. I don't believe that we've seen anywhere near yet what we'll see. You've got people right now say, well, I read between the lines. You're an unbeliever. How do you know? The Bible said they couldn't even tell who Jesus was. How are they going to tell you? See, one fellow once said, he said, I got a little kick up. They sang that song, I'm so glad I'm one of them. And I said, which one of them? I said, what does it matter as long as you're one of them? Who's going to prove who? See? Now, thus even with vindication by manifestation, will there be a true recognition till it's all over? I don't know. To me, I am sure there can be a difference that can be known in a measure. Yet when you see how blind Israel was to both Christ and a bride, that all they could say, these men have been with Jesus, or these are Branhamites, you know. How much recognition are you looking for? If you're looking for this great big blast that's going to empty hospitals and turn the world upside down, you better make your mind up right now to be in the tribulation, because that's under the two witnesses. But there's something here because the prophet said so. In the bride, see? That's why he said nobody knows anything about this third pull because you and I don't know about it. All we know, it's there. It'll be in the bride. It's in this season. The full revelation. A manifestation. The stature of the fullness. Here it is. Right, ready now for Christ to come down to that bride and take her up in that air where he'll be with her physically. And Brother Branham said, it's got to be so close like that pyramid, the ministries must be identical. We've already seen in one man called the prophet William Branham. What's it going to be in the bride? It won't be any great sideshow. It won't be the big tent meeting, I know. I don't know what you're going to do and I'm going to do if we're in that group. I'm not banking on someone running up to me, though it could happen to you, and saying, I know you're a bride and I'm not. I'm not saying it couldn't happen. But I don't look for any great big thing. This to the total loss. Now listen, what is the position of the bride at this moment then in view of what's coming on the scene? Because we don't know about it. We just know it's there. This great mystery has been revealed. The word revealed in the bride when she becomes one with the word, so she has thus saith the Lord, create a word. What is this anyway? What is it? What are we going to do in the meantime? First of all, let's read Romans 8, chapter 14, and I'll get you out of here in a few minutes now. Give me a few minutes. 8 and 14, I think it is. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but we have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. In other words, right now, we already have the potential of what is going to bring about the manifestation. So stop your carping and doubting and fearing. Thank God and believe it. Don't start looking for what you already got. The late A.J. Gordon once made a tremendous statement, and it preached a terrific sermon. He brought out the fact that Mary thought that Jesus was with the train. Later on, she woke up to the fact that he was not with the train, and she had to go back and get him. Now he said, you people, let me ask you this question. Which is worse, to believe that Jesus is with you when he is not, or to believe he is not with you when he is? I say it's a million times worse for Christ to be with you and you not to acknowledge it. Don't start saying, I wonder about this, I wonder about that. If you have received the Holy Ghost, that's that. You have got the seed of the full potential. See? Paul had it and was waiting for it. John had it, waiting for it. Peter had it, waiting for it. Irenaeus had it, waiting for it. Luther had it, waiting for it. William Branham had it. And he's waiting for resurrection, though he himself already demonstrated the authority of the very thing we're talking about. He still died. So therefore, we don't doubt. See? Remember, the evidence of the Holy Ghost is receiving the word of the hour, and the start is, thus saith the Lord. Now, if you've got that far, you're on very good ground. Don't throw away what you got. Just because you haven't got everything, don't cut your throat. There's none of us here worrying and going to cut our throat because we're not millionaires. We're very happy and only hoping we're getting along in the future as well as we're getting along now. Well, I got news for you. You're going to get along better with Jesus. So you get everything to rejoice for. All right, now the second thing is what? The second thing is Matthew 24, 44 to 51. Now let's look at it. Because this is a good chapter, and Matthew 24 is a great chapter. It's right at the end time. All right, 24. And it had this, here it is, 44, beginning. Now therefore be also ready, for in such an hour as you think not the Son of Man cometh. That's him delivered to descend out of heaven, physical man. Who then is that faithful and wise servant? Now listen. Whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season. Now, what are we supposed to have today? Meat in due season. What is that? The food stored up. Spiritual food in due season. Now, what are you doing today? You're going to church and getting the food off the table. You're getting what Brother Branham said preached to you with many, many verses of Scripture in order to be a part... That's what the five ministries, a part in what he was, which is to take the very thing that he said, and what he said, break it down, and feed to the people. Now there you are. Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Now that's what you and I are to be doing, eating this message, as Brother Branham called it, lying in the presence of the sun and ripening. Remember, the crop to ripen had to have the latter rain. No rain, no ripe. Discard. See? You've got to have that moisture of the Word in you while the moisture of the world and the creed and the dogmas evaporate. And it will evaporate under the white, hot rays of the revealed Word. But it's not, you're not without moisture. It's the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost and the Word now making you more and more and more and more one until we come right into that place Brother Branham said. Now listen, nobody but Brother Branham ever taught it this way. Nobody else. You can't find it. Anybody else's writings. He said, coming in and now is. Eh? He never changed it. One of the end time mysteries. The seals would have made him change it had it should have been changed. Yes, you got to believe that or you don't believe the word. Because the opening of those seals was where the corrections all came. He said, I myself used to believe this, but now I got to see this way. He said, Brother Vail, now you were in Florida. 1954. Three, Florida. We crossed our toothpicks over initial evidence. I backed him in one corner, well, he backed me in mine, so we sat there. Still made it. He showed me it couldn't have been tongues, and I showed him it couldn't be love. Because he said tongues could be imitated, and I showed him love could be imitated. The Bible says so. That love be without hypocrisy. That love be unfeigned, you can imitate it. He can be none but a greasy heathen. A slick-tongued rascal. It shows just enough love to almost swamp the world, just what the devil did. He didn't hit the thief with a club. Chucked her under the chin, smiled at her, and showed he was a great guy.
Sure was.
There's where we stand today. Now listen. That's your word. Now listen now. Verily I say that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. Right here at the end with that book of redemption open. Right at the end time. Who's going to go in and take over the millennium? Tells you right here, see. Now listen. But if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delays his coming. I don't think things are ready. We've got a long time yet. And shall begin to smite his fellow servants and eat and drink with the drunken. Have you ever heard of any group that believes this message getting tight? I can name you names. Not that I will. You'll go for that kind of stuff. But this is not just booze. You can get drunken over your own authority and your own ideas and this and that. You see, look, you know we are the blessed people of this world. And yet, in fact, there's none of us going around as though they're big shots. And if anybody is, God's going to knock you flat. Don't worry. You can knock flat in the fritter one of these days. See, doesn't it? No. We just stand with this word, see? That's what he said. Just keep putting this word out. Now, he said, if you do otherwise, then the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder and appoint his portion with the hypocrites. See? And taste the good word of God. Come right along, have many manifestations, great things, and God will say, you just belong to that bunch over there. Now, what's the secret, what we're doing? We're waiting for this great thing that's coming in the bride. What moment, what hour? I don't know. It's the season. Will it come 10 minutes before the resurrection? I believe it's going to precede in a measure before the resurrection, but it's got to continue in it because Brother Branham said it won't be until after the resurrection the full manifestation comes. I've got news for you. He also said it won't be to the white throne judgment. And I've got further news. It won't be to New Jerusalem when they bring the glory in. What started way back there at Pentecost, the spirit of adoption. The Holy Ghost has come up through the bride through all ages. And we're getting ready now for whatever it is that God has for this end time bride in full revelation and manifestation at an appointed hour, which when that springs, watch, from there on, resurrection. Rapture, millennium, white throne, up to the throne, back again in New Jerusalem, 1,500 miles square at the bottom, 1,500 miles high, and the glory pouring in her with the light above and God above the throne. There she's coming. That's your story. You read it. You get a chapter by verse in the sermons that he preached. Question and answers on the Holy Ghost. I think it was 1959 or 60 over there. Read her through. Brother, sister, we're on the very verge of that very thing. I can't tell you all about it. I said, Brother Bill, what do you think you're going to do? I'm just going to keep on doing until I find out I'm doing exactly what I'm supposed to do because he's doing it through me. I said, sure. Do you think you're going to empty hospitals? Well, I don't know what I'm going to do. I doubt very much that, but I don't know. Well, you're thus saith the Lord be. You might say, how about going down there and just pray? You might say to somebody else, hey, like Philip, go on down there and see that fellow. I always did. But brother, sister, there's something Brother Branham said. And his ministry was that vindication of what was going to come to pass. The bride is on the verge of the placing of the sons of God. And you know what? We won't be unconscious, don't worry. That's what I'm trying to get across. This is not for unconscious people. This is not for just simply people lying in the ground. This is for a bride that's going to be brought right back to restoration. Why? Because he put a flaming cherubim before that tree and said, lest they eat and live forever. But now there's the people going to eat, and they're going to live forever. Right on the threshold. Oh, don't look for next year. Look for this year. See, what if it doesn't come this year? Just keep on looking. Just keep waiting. What am I going to do? Just hand out that word. See? Hand out that word. Want me to read something else? Oh, it's not quite 1 o'clock. See if I can find it. Listen. Here, Brother Branham. Air's not, seed not air with a shuck. Remember, I'm giving you food of the eagle. The promise of God. He calls his prophets eagles. He calls himself an eagle. He's Jehovah Eagle. And while you have your hands laid upon one another, pray for them. Now listen and pray. Our Heavenly Father, your word says, the last commission you gave to your church was go into all the world and preach the gospel, the general orders. He that believeth is baptized should be saved. He that believeth not should be damned. That's condemned, brought to the judgment seat. These signs shall follow them believe. In my name they'll cast the devils. They shall speak a new tongue. Drink any day thing wouldn't hurt them. Take up serpents that'll not harm them. Lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. O Jehovah Eagle, feed your little ones tonight upon that word, Lord. What word? The word did he preach? They're needy. What word? Lay hands upon the sick. They're needy. That's the diet they need. That's what they need to know what the food is. But thus saith the Lord. was that thus said the Lord? It wasn't thus said the Lord, there's going to be a hailstorm. Thus said the Lord, you're healed. Thus said the Lord was given you in a form of a miracle to hear the word, thus saith the Lord.
See?
Oh, you promised if they laid hands on one another, they'd recover. Oh, Lord God, take away all doubts and all vulture, dead rabbit ideas away from us now. And we feed solemnly upon the eagle food of the word of God. Let every unclean spirit that's in these people, every spirit of doubting, every spirit of fear, every denominational claim. Some of you still a little afraid of your old friends and the liaison you had years ago when you were in the great assemblies and the great first this and the great second that and the great this. Huh? Still like that old harlot's pat in the back of neck, you know? Oh, shame on you. You're living in adultery. Come on, cut it out. Hate that junk. Get rid of your vulture food and your denominational spirit. Every habit, every sickness, every disease that's among the people, leave. In the name of Jesus Christ, may it come out of this group of people. He's not just praying, he's preaching a sermon here. Got to get rid of all that stuff. May they be free from this hour on, that they can eat the eagle food. That word, believing, you'll send us through the week. Already sent a whole mess of it. Lord, now listen, breaking open these seals. He preached this in 65. So the seal started to break in 63 of March and kept on breaking. See? And showing us those mysteries, seven thunders, that's been hid from the foundation of the world. Where are you going to go back? You're going to go back to what we're talking about, the unrevealed mystery of the end time, for the end time. As you promised, they are yours, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. What are we going to do? Stay with the word. Stay with the word. That's your testimony. He said, go into all the world and preach it. He said, lay hands upon the sick. Don't forget the minister. But remember, this time, you're with the original, truly revealed word. You're not preaching that old denominational stuff. You're not preaching your own ideas and thoughts. You're preaching in the face of what looks so unrealistic. And remember, everything of God looks unrealistic and unacceptable. You preach it anyway, because that's the food. And he said, you servant of God, you keep doing that. And it doesn't matter whether you know the hour or the day or not. He'll say, my blessed servant, come in. And point you a portion with the righteous. You follow? Sure, brother. We're not going to see. We're just people are. The Lord bless you. Shall we rise then at this moment? Give you a change of position, because I understand there's a water baptism service also. Heavenly Father, we pray, Lord Jesus Christ, that the word spoken shall have found a lodgment. Lord, I prayed before I started praying again now, believing that what was said was correct, confessing, Lord, the part we don't know, but knowing there is a part that we do know. And this is the day, Lord, that the scrolls have been opened. Praise God. The seals ripped off the back of the book that was sealed, written on both sides, and no longer guessing, because it was read unto us. And Lord, we know we're coming into this great place of immortality, this great place of incorruptibility. Lord, there's a bride here right today. We don't know who it is. We don't know which one's going to be standing here. But Lord, just I believe absolutely there are people standing right here, absolutely able to walk right into that eternal life. And Lord, there's not one of us in competition saying, Lord, is it going to be I and put out somebody else? But I believe, Lord, this morning, according to your prophet's word, according to you, there isn't one of us but should be saying, I believe I'm that one, not excluding anybody, but as it were joining hands and praying in love, looking forward to that great day when this will all come to pass. Lord God, we prayed for many, many years, and it could only be because there's a deep calling on the deep. You put within the hearts of your people to believe that there's got to be somebody on this earth coming in this end time day that will so satisfy your heart, because they're in the very image of Almighty God. Not praying, Lord, now just for a resurrection when this world's all over. That's wonderful. Not praying, Lord, for something great that's going to come when righteous government is upon the earth and the devil's not here. But, Lord, looking for a people that are just what Paul said, to no longer toss to and fro with every sleight of doctrine and man's deceit and cunning, by every old wind that blows, but growing up into Christ, absolutely preach and present that truth and love. And absolutely, Lord, we're looking for it. Lord, may you be glorified. while people press into the kingdom. Unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God. Be all power and honor and glory through Jesus Christ our Lord.